Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Chapter entitled Kurukshetra by a Brahmana Boy. Just turn the microphone down, just a little. Just a touch. Text number 38. Tato bhyechya shramam balo. Kale sarpa kale varam. Pitaram viksha dukarto. Mukta kanto rodaha. Tato bhyechya shramam balo. Kale sarpa kale varam.
Kale sarpa kale varam.
Pitaram viksha dukarto.
Pitaram viksha dukarto.
Mukta kanto rodaha.
Mukta kanto rodaha.
Tata.
Tata.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Abhyetya. After entering into ashramam, the hermitage, bala, boy, gale sarpa,
the snake on the shoulder,
kalevaram,
body,
pitaram,
unto the father.
Viksha, having seen. Dukkha
Arta,
in a sorry plight.
Mukta Kanta,
loudly.
Roroda,
cried.
Ha,
in the past. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder, and out of his grief he cried very loudly. Translation responsibly. Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder. And out of his grief, he cried very loudly. Purport. The boy was not happy because he committed a great mistake, and he wanted to be relieved of the burden on his heart by crying. So after entering the hermitage and seeing his father in that condition, he cried loudly so that he might be relieved. But it was too late. The father regretted the whole incident. Omagyan Timinungasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshunitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati swa badantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhivacha Petitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Rasadi Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you read it systematically, you'll see from the very beginning, in the introduction, Prabhupada says it must be studied systematically or categorically. Prabhupada gives the example that you can bite into an apple on any side and the apple will be sweet whichever way you bite, from whichever angle you bite. And the Bhagavatam and all of Prabhupada's books are like that. You can pick up any book. You can go to the bookshelf and just pick up any book. Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam or the Gita or any of the books. And you can pick them up and begin to read and it is sweet. Because if something is ripe and juicy, then it doesn't matter which angle that you approach it from, it will be sweet and nectarian and beneficial for you. So Prabhupada's books are like that. You can read them, you can read any book anytime and you will get transcendental benefit. But Prabhupada points out in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, at some point in time you must study his books categorically, systematically. And Prabhupada developed a systematic study for his books. So the first course which Prabhupada desired to be taught is called the Bhakti Shastri. So Bhagavad Gita, Ishvapanishad, Nectar of Devotion, first 150 pages, and Nectar of Instruction. So Srila Prabhupada says that before one takes Brahman initiation, one should have the Bhakti Shastri degree. Before you take the second initiation with ISKCON, you should have the Bhakti Shastri degree. And that was Prabhupada's standard. So Prabhupada wanted us to systematically study his books. Prabhupada said we should know his books like the lawyers know the law books, or like the Christians know the Bible. We should know Prabhupada's books inside and out, very systematically. So we have to study them systematically. That was his desire. He actually said one time, he said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, it is they do not read my books enough. So he said 1 to 2 hours a day, every devotee should be reading. So you have to plan your life in such a way. Reduce your eating, reduce your sleeping, reduce your prajalpa, reduce your wasted time so that you have time to read Prabhupada's books an hour or two a day. So this should be a systematic study. Srila Prabhupada desired that we study the Bhakti Shastri, then the Bhakti Vaibhava course, which means the first six cantos of the Bhagavatam, and then the Bhakti Vedanta course. And Srila Prabhupada said that after you've studied Bhakti Vedanta course, then you may, at that time, you may become a guru. In other words, you have to have at least studied the entire Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam in its entirety, very deeply. Right? And then there is Bhakti Sarvabhauma, which has not even been taught in ISKCON yet, but we're hoping it will be taught. The books must be approached systematically. So when you study systematically, Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, he says that if you study systematically his books, then when you get to the 10th canto, when you finish the 9 cantos, then Prabhupada said, you will be a God-realized soul. It means you will realize God. You will understand God properly. You will have realization of God. Of course, that means we have to be studying very, very deeply. You can't read superficially and expect to be a God-realized soul. But at the end of the 9 cantos, if you've studied them properly, that should be the result. You should be Krishna conscious. So that when you enter into the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, you will not misconstrue or misunderstand Krishna's transcendental nature and his transcendental pastimes. As Prabhupada said in the verse I spoke on last week, I think it was verse 18, then Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj, he accepted the curse of Sringi. So why did he accept the curse? Because he understood Krishna had a plan. And what was Krishna's plan? Krishna wanted the Bhagavatam to manifest. And then Prabhupada says, why did the Bhagavatam have to manifest? So the devotees will study it. And then when you study it properly, eventually you will get to the 10th canto. And when you get to the 10th canto, eventually you will get to... The 10th canto is said to be like Krishna's face. Right? Each canto of the Bhagavatam is like going from Krishna's lotus feet up to the 9th canto is his neck. And then 10th canto is the face. 11th canto is the forehead. 12th canto is the crown. Like that. So systematically you rise and then eventually you come to his face. And the most beautiful part of the face is the smile. And the smile of Krishna is chapters 29 to 33, which is the Rasa Lila. So Prabhupada says that Krishna wanted the Bhagavatam to manifest. Why? So that eventually devotees will become purified and qualified, that eventually they can study Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in the 10th canto, the Rasa Lila, because it says at the very end of the 33rd chapter, after the Rasa Lila is described, it says that if you hear of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis purely, then all the lust within the heart will be destroyed. So we study the Bhagavatam so that we can become purified, so that eventually we can read Krishna's pastimes. And when you read Krishna's pastimes, if you're reading them purely, they will destroy all of the lust which is there within the consciousness, the hrid rog, or the disease in the heart. All of us have heart disease. Heart disease is one of the biggest killers of humanity at this point in time. Two big things that kill people these days are heart disease and cancer. So all of us have heart disease. What is heart disease? It means lust. There is lust in the heart, lust in the consciousness. So therefore we cannot approach Krishna purely. It is difficult for us to approach Krishna at this point in time, because we still have material contamination. But if you can cleanse that material contamination sufficiently, so then you can hear his pastimes without contamination, then finally all of that lust will be taken out by hearing those pastimes, and you will become attracted to the Adi Ras. The Adi Ras means the original relationship between Krishna and his eternal associates. And actually, Mother Jagatarini, she said a few years ago when we were in Govardhan in Vrindavan at one of the retreats, she said, it is only by hearing of Krishna's pastimes that all the lust can be completely removed. Right? It won't be completely removed until you can hear his pastimes purely and properly. So that is the whole point of the studying the Bhagavatam. It is to get to the 10th canto and have the adhikar, or the qualification, to understand the subject matter of the ashraya, or the shelter which is in the 10th canto, which is Krishna himself, his pastimes. So gradually we have to study the Bhagavatam systematically and categorically and appropriately, and we have to see, are we actually getting the result of the study? Are the material desires actually disappearing from the consciousness? Are we actually becoming attracted to Krishna? Do we dream of the transcendental cowherd boy? Srila Prabhupada said that if you read Krishna book before you go to sleep, you will dream of Krishna. Hands up if you have ever dreamed of Krishna. I've never dreamed of Krishna. So it means we have to study more. We have to become more deep in our consciousness. And actually, if you see, Prabhupada came to America in 1965. When he arrived in America, which books did he have with him? Yeah, the first canto of the Bhagavatam was complete. Right? He had finished the Gita at one point, but then the manuscript was stolen, and then he had to rewrite. Just imagine. Prabhupada had already written the whole thing once. Just imagine, you write all the purports for the Bhagavad Gita and someone steals it. Yeah. How many weeks and months it must have taken Prabhupada to write all the purports, right, for the whole book, and then the whole thing was stolen. How would you feel? Right. And then Prabhupada had to do it again, second time. Right. This is what Prabhupada was dealing with. When he arrived in America in 1965, he was living in the Bowery. Bowery is like going and living in Grey Street in St Kilda. No, it's worse. It's worse than that. What's it like? Which part of Melbourne is it like? You know, what's the grungiest part of Melbourne?
Footscray.
Yeah, Footscray's a bit like that. Yeah. It's just getting better too. Melbourne's probably doesn't have anywhere grungy enough like that. Prabhupada was in the Bowery. I mean, Prabhupada had to step over drunks to get into his apartment where he was staying, the loft up the top. He was living up the top in one building. I had to step over the drunks and, you know, to get up to where he was staying. So in the very beginning of our movement, 1970, the very early days of the movement, he published the Krishna book. Why? Because he wanted us to read the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. He wanted us to become qualified that we could read about Krishna's pastimes. And he said that we should be reading this Krishna book daily. So we should be studying the Bhagavatam so that eventually we become purified so we get the result. We should understand what is the prayojana. Prayojana means the goal of Krishna consciousness. What is our goal? There is a saying in English, do not get on a ship if you do not know its destination. So what are you aiming for in your life? What is the purpose of your life? Why are you practicing Krishna consciousness? Why are you doing this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? Why are you doing all this service? Why are you doing everything you do? Why do you put on a dhoti or a sari and tilak and kanti mala? Why do you do it all? What's your purpose? What is your goal? What is your destination? What is your final? What are you aiming for? So we're aiming for Krishna. That should be very clear in our consciousness. Radha Vallabha. It's very clear in our consciousness. That's what we're aiming for. And the whole point of studying the Bhagavatam is that we will come to the 10th canto and we'll just hear about Krishna only. Ashraya means the shelter. And we'll absorb our consciousness in him. And we won't see it in a contaminated way. Because if you're unqualified, you will see Krishna as rasa, as virasa. You'll see it as material. So we have to make sure, it is our responsibility to make sure that we become qualified to one day understand Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, very famous purport, he says everyone has to fly their own plane. Right? It's up to you. The spiritual master helps you. Right? All the devotees help you, but it's only you at the time of death. No one else can do it for you. You're the only one. Just like one of our devotees, just 500 meters from here, one of our devotees is leaving this world. So I went to visit her last week. Her Grace Gandharvika Mataji. Right? And she is fixed. Right? She's changed my life just by associating with her. I went to see her. She's fixed. She's ready to die. She's ready to give up this body. I went to see her last week. I said, if you're still here, I'll come and see you next week. She said, pray I won't be here. Right? That's fixed. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Right? One pointed determination. Now I'm going back to Krishna. Right? So that has to be your desire. Abhilas. Abhilas means your desire. What are you desiring? Every morning we sing Tulsi prayers. So what do we sing? Tulasi Krishna Priyasi Namo Namaha Radha Krishna Seva Pavo E Abhilasi Abhilas. My desire is to serve Radha and Krishna. Abhilas. Is that your desire? Is that what you want in your consciousness? What do you want? Why are you in this Hare Krishna movement? What is your point? Why are you here? Because you like the food? Because they give you somewhere to sleep? Because the people are nice? What is your desire? What do you want? Do you want to go back to the spiritual world? What do we sing every morning? Eneve dana daro sakya anugata koro seva adhikara die koro Nijadasi. Please give me the privilege of devotional service. We say to Tulsi every day we pray, please give me the privilege of devotional service. That means devotional service in the spiritual world. Let me become a Sakhi. Saka means friend. Bhakto si me saka cheti, Krishna says in Gita. Become my devotee. Become my friend. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, become my friend. Right? So, every day we're saying to, we pray to Tulsi, please let me become a Sakhi. Let me become, by your blessings, let me become a Sakhi. Let me become a friend of Krishna. One of Krishna's friends. Yeah. And then, Seva Adhikara. Give me the privilege to do service. Just let me do some service. Let me do some service for the divine couple. So this is our abhilas, this is our prayojana, this is our desire. This is what we should be aiming for in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, if you read this chapter, a very powerful chapter, because Parikshit is about to die, what does Parikshit do? 7 days to live. So what to do? Hear and chant about Krishna. Gandharvika Mataji has a few days to live. What does she do? Right? Prabhupada's playing 24 hours. Always. Prabhupada's just playing and playing. Prabhupada's chanting and Prabhupada's giving class and that's all. That's all. So this is it. This is the example we're getting by the Amala Vaishnavas, by the pure devotees, by the exalted Vaishnavas, like Maharaj Parikshit. What does it show us? Okay, 7 days to live. Absorb yourself in Krishna. So how many days do we have to live? Who is the oldest person in this room? I know you're the oldest person. But how do we know who's the oldest? Who of us will die here first? We don't know which one it will be. So you could be the oldest person. This could be your last 7 days. So what are you doing with your last 7 days? Absorb yourself in Krishna. You don't have long to live. So absorb yourself in Krishna. This is the point. The Bhagavatam is teaching us. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Savai pumsam paro damo yato bhaktir hoksaje ahoitu yapratihata yayatma supersediti. You don't have long to go, so absorb yourself. Bhagavatam says, shrama evihi kevalam. Don't waste your time on useless things. You don't have long to live now. So, if you study the Bhagavatam categorically, systematically, the first 9 cantos, what is one of the main themes which we're seeing it right now with Sringi, the way he's interacting with Parikshit Maharaj? Then what is one of the main things which comes up again and again and again as you study the Bhagavatam, each canto? There's many themes, but there's one very important theme which we're seeing right now. What is that? Yes.
Etiquette.
Very good. Etiquette, yeah. And specifically, which part of etiquette? Etiquette means sadhacha. I'm going to do, I think, I spoke to Aniruddha Prabhu, I think next Monday night, we'll put, can you put that poster up in that cleanse for next Monday night? Okay. Next Monday night, I'll do a seminar on cleanliness in Krishna consciousness. If you'd like to learn how to be clean in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said cleanliness is godliness. The saying in English is cleanliness is next to godliness. Prabhupada said no. He said cleanliness is godliness. The spiritual world is so clean, there's nothing to clean. It is so clean. Everyone's cleaning. Prabhupada says in third canto, in Vaikuntha, devotees are cleaning. But Prabhupada said there's nothing to clean. It's all spotless. So anyway, we'll put a poster up. If you want to come next Monday night, we'll do a seminar on cleanliness in Krishna consciousness. So this is called sadhacha. Sadhacha means spiritual behavior. So what is one of the main points which is in this pastime? It comes up again and again and again.
Hearing from proper source.
Yeah, that's very good. I'm not thinking of that, but that's a integral part of the Bhagavad Gita. What's taking place?
Vaishnava.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. It is Vaishnava Aparada. Aparada means offense. Offense. Offensive behavior. Vaishnava Aparada. It is so integral that it comes up again and again. If you study the Bhagavad Gita, those first nine cantos, it just comes up again and again and again. Fourth canto, first seven chapters, the whole thing is the Daksha Yagya. Daksha becomes proud and he curses Shiva. Who are you? You don't stand up when I walk in. Who are you? You who are covered with ash, who have skulls around your neck, who wear snakes. You married my daughter. You're my son-in-law. Right? You associate with the lower class entities like that. And you don't stand up when I walk into the assembly like that. Curses Shiva. Biggest mistake that Daksha ever made. What was the result? Lost his head. Shiva became angry. Because Daksha cursed Shiva. Sati, Shiva's wife, became extremely angry that her father had mistreated her husband, right? And then self-combusted herself, right? Just burned her own body into ashes just out of hurt and disappointment that her father had mistreated Shiva, the Vaishnavan Yatashambhu, the highest devotee. The devotee had been mistreated. She destroyed herself. And then when Shiva found out that Sati had committed suicide, had given up her body, he became so angry that who is Daksha? Just pulls out one of the hairs in his head and then, what was his name? The demon?
Virabhadra.
Right, then Virabhadra. And Virabhadra says, what do you want me to do? He said, go and see Daksha. Right? So he goes to Daksha, right? And then grabs him, puts him on the ground. Right? He's trying to sever his head, but Daksha's very powerful, so they're fighting with their mantras, like back and forth. Then finally he just grabs him, Virabhadra just picks him up, puts him in the device which they use to cut the animals' heads off in the sacrifices, puts him in, cuts his head off. Right? And then later on he gets the head of the goat. The goat which had been sacrificed, they put that back on his head. This is the result. So Lord Chaitanya says, because Lord Chaitanya's teachings, everything Lord Chaitanya taught is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam emphasizes very carefully to avoid offending devotees, Vaishnavas. Now what did what is the reaction of Maharaj Parikshit in this circumstance? Right. Maharaj Parikshit, he taught us to tolerate. Titikshaswa Karunika is the quality of a devotee. You have to tolerate. You do not take offense. Someone offends you. Unless the person is just completely out of line, like that, you have to discriminate. And then if they're completely out of line, then you need to say something. But generally, a devotee does not become offended. Even when he is mistreated very badly, he does not become offended. So Lord Chaitanya, who has based his teachings upon the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has said that this offense is called Hatimata. Hatimata means mad elephant. When the elephant goes mad, right, it can destroy the garden. Just like I was reading the last few days, that when Krishna was entering the wrestling arena, right, comes to put one elephant in front of the gate so that Krishna couldn't get in. What was the name of the elephant? Kuvalayapida. So Kuvalayapida was so powerful when Kamsa caught him. It was Jarasandha who caught him. Jarasandha gave him as a gift to Kamsa. When they went to catch Kublai appeared, it took 100,000 elephants to catch him. He was like this amazingly powerful elephant. He was actually a great person in his previous life who'd been cursed to become an elephant. All these people had been people who'd become cursed to become Kamsa was Kala Nemi. He was the son of Hiranyakashipu, and they were all cursed to take birth, and they became demoniac personalities. So this elephant, Kuvalaya Peed, he was so powerful, and then his elephant keeper took the goad. The goad means it's a stick which has like a hook on it, and they use it to control the elephants. So then he started hitting him with the goad to make him angry. And then he became furious. And then he was standing there, and Krishna and Balaram were walking towards the gate, to enter into the gate. And Kublai Pi was completely infuriated, a mad elephant. Lord Chaitanya says, this is the Hati Mata. When you offend a devotee, it's like an elephant that's gone mad. When it goes mad, it can do anything. Very dangerous. So Krishna ran under his legs, right? And he was under his legs, and he was hitting him on the legs. And the elephant was trying to stamp him, trying to find him, stamp him. And Krishna kept hitting him and kicking him and calling him names just to get him more angry. He's underneath him. The elephant's going like this. And then Krishna slips out, and Krishna goes in the front, in front of him, and Krishna starts walking down the road, and he says, come on, come, come, come on, like this. So the elephant goes around, and he starts running at Krishna. So Balaram runs around the back of the elephant and grabs his tail and starts pulling him back. And he's trying to like get Krishna, and Balaram's pulling his backwards. So he's pulling him like that. So Krishna starts laughing because he sees Balaram's pulling him like that. Yeah, the elephant's coming, and he can't get to him. So Krishna grabs his trunk and starts pulling him from the front. So Balaram and Krishna are pulling him. He's getting crazier and crazier. He's getting mad by the. And then finally Krishna said, okay, that's enough. And Krishna picks him up and just and smashes him on the ground. And that's it. He's dead. And then Krishna gets his tusks and rips out his tusks. Right? Gives one to Balaram and he rips out the other one. And they put them on their shoulders. And then they walk into the arena. Right? And just at that time when they walk in, the band starts playing. Kamsa says, make the band, the music play. Because he's hoping Krishna is dead. So he said, make the music play. And then Krishna, all the coward boys, they run in front of Krishna. And they all run in and they say, Jai, Jai, Jai. And then Krishna and Balaram walk in with the tusks on their shoulders. They just walk in. And they're all, you know. And they walk in and they walk up in front of Kamsa. They don't even look at him. They walk up in front of him and they get the tusks and they put them in the ground. And then they just turn their backs and they just walk off. So defiant, right? So powerful, like Krishna and Balaram. Then they go and sit down with all the wrestlers are sitting. So they all go and sit down with the other wrestlers, and they're just smiling. Right? And then Chanura and Mushtik, they stand up and say, "Okay, come, you two boys, come, we'll wrestle with you," like that. And then they stand up, and then the whole wrestling match goes on like that. And then finally, he kills Kamsa. And then he takes his hair and he drags him. By his hair, just drags him around the arena just to show everyone he's dead. You know, first he jumps up on the dais, like the platform where Kamsa gets up, he gets him and he throws him. Throws Kamsa down, Kamsa lands on the ground, and then Krishna jumps, lands on his body, and then he just gets him and just smashes him in his fist, bang, kills him. And then he grabs him by the hair and he just drags him around. This is our God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in church? you go to church, you know? Yeah. Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah. When you kill the elephants. They got no idea what he's like. No one knows what he's like. He's so powerful. His name is Hari, We say all day, we say Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. His name is Hari. Hari means lion. He's a lion. That's what he's like. He's a lion. He just goes where he wants and he does what he wants. Whenever he wants. That's Krishna. That's our God. So, the offending a devotee is like a mad elephant. Right? In other words, why does Lord Chaitanya say that? Lord Chaitanya says, be very careful about offending other devotees. Now, if you analyze the Vaishnava Parad, you'll see all the way through the Bhagavatam, it mentions this point. Be careful of offending devotees. Canto 4, and practically every canto, there's some pastime, like just that there is here, where Sringi is offended Parikshit Maharaj. And the Bhagavatam is telling us again and again, be very careful how you deal with the other devotees. Right? So there are three types of offenses, which are then categorized into six. Right? There is verbal, vocal, right? We speak improperly. Actually, before that, there is mental. There is thinking negatively towards the devotees. And then there is, after thinking about the devotees, then there's verbal. Then you say something. And then the worst is corporal, where you actually physically harm a devotee. So, and then these are categorized into six, like that. One of the, I can't remember the six perfectly. Do you remember, Gopa? No, I can't remember them perfectly, but one of them is, if you see another devotee and you don't smile when you see them, that's an offense. Right? That's a mental offense. Right? Another devotee comes, doesn't mean like every 10 seconds, you know, like you're in crossways, you know, and you're carrying the plates back and forth from the kitchen to the, and every time you go past, you go, then you come back and go, doesn't mean like that. But it means like you haven't seen the devotees for some time, right? So it means you haven't seen the devotees for a little bit of time, and then you see them again, right? Then if you don't smile, if you don't welcome them warmly, that's an offense, right? So these are, because if that devotee feels bad, oh, I haven't seen you for so long, and then he comes to see you and then you're very cold, then he feels bad in his heart. That's an offense. That's not a big offense, but it's an offense. Right? To speak inappropriately to another devotee. Right? Quite often we do this. We don't speak properly to the devotees. We don't use the right tone of voice. Prabhupada said, I am Prabhupada. All of you are Prabhus, and I am Prabhupada. Means all the Prabhus, they sit at my feet. Right? But Prabhupada said, you should call all the devotees Prabhu. It means you should have the right attitude. Right? You should speak properly to the devotees, and the right tone of voice. You know, because sometimes we say Prabhu, we don't say that very nicely either. Prabhu. Huh? We have to speak properly to the devotees, generally. Most of the time. You have to be careful how you speak to the other devotees. It's very integral. Otherwise, you might cause ill feelings in the hearts of the devotees. And then that blockage, when you commit an aparada or an offense, it blocks Krishna's mercy from reaching you. You can't get Krishna's mercy because it's blocking. It's not that Krishna's mercy is not flowing, but you cannot receive it. So you have to be very careful about offending devotees. So it says specifically that don't think negatively towards the devotees, because you can say, okay, well, I'm only thinking. And actually sometimes we hear that in the previous yugas, even if you think something negatively, you get the reaction. Right? But that does not apply in Kali Yuga. Because none of us would be sitting here. If we got all the reactions for everything we thought negatively about other people, right, we would be just burned into ashes. Right? You wouldn't even get up in the morning. You'd just be destroyed. So we don't get the reactions, but still, the important point is that we should not think negatively towards other devotees. Why?
Because if you think negatively, eventually you will say something or you'll do something negatively, which means you'll commit an offense. Because you're offensive in the mind, it will come out. So you have to be very careful about thinking. So you have to learn to rethink. You have to train your mind, right, to look for the positive instead of the negative. It's like a few years ago, we did one of the retreats in Govardhan or Varshana, and Burajan Prabhu, at the beginning of the retreat, he gave everyone a elastic band to put around our wrist, like a colourful, like, so we all put that around our wrist. And he said, okay, for the next 7 days, if you catch yourself saying anything, right, negatively or critically about another devotee, you have to take off that rubber band and put it on the other hand. Right? So that means everyone will see you, you know, putting it on the other hand. So everyone will see, oh, he said something negative, like critical. So then we all put it on. And then after a couple of days, you start realizing, oh, wait a minute, I actually do say quite a few negative things. And I am actually thinking quite a few negative things. I actually am very critical in my mind. So we have to train ourselves. That means it's a very good training program. You have to train your mind to think positively, to see the positive things in the other devotees. Because there's so many good things. Right? In everyone there is goodness. Because everyone is part of Krishna. So therefore we should learn to look for the good things. Otherwise you commit offences. And offences block your advancement towards Krishna. So here it is being said that Maharaj Parikshit, he was offended, but he did not take offence. That's a very advanced devotee. We should be like that. Because, you know, we'll be offended all day long. You know, people say something or do something and we won't like the way they speak or the way they do. Yeah, all day we feel like, oh, this person said something to me, I don't like the way he spoke to me and this and this. But a devotee should not feel. Lord Chaitanya said that we should feel more humble than the blade of grass. How humble is a blade of grass? If you step on grass, what does it do? Right? It goes down. Right? Do you ever hear the grass say, hey, you know, Hare Baba, who are you? Get off me. Go and stand over there. Right? You don't hear the grass. But Lord Chaitanya says, more humble than the grass. What does it mean to be more humble than the grass? Because the grass goes down, and then when you leave, then slowly it comes back up. Right? But Lord Chaitanya says, more humble. That means you just always stay down. It's very advanced. Very advanced. This is only the third verse of the Shikshastika. This is only Nishtha. This is not even the higher levels yet. But to get to the higher levels, first you have to develop that consciousness. Which means you have to be very humble, more humble than grass, more tolerant than a tree. What does it mean to be more tolerant than a tree? Because people will come and do all sorts of things to the trees. Right? And the tree never says anything. So Lord Chaitanya says you have to be even more tolerant than that tree. This is very advanced Krishna consciousness. But if you're in that consciousness, then you don't feel offended. I offer all respect to everyone, but I don't expect any respect to myself. That's a very advanced level. But if you're like that, then you'll never offend anyone. And Lord Chaitanya, or actually Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said we should wear that verse around our neck. Trinada pi sunichena, tarora pi sishnuna, amanena amanadena, kiritanya has. He said we should wear it around our neck as our kanti mala. We never take off our tulsi beads, right? We never take it off. If they break, we put on a new set. Never take it off. Always, always. Right? So Kanti, so Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, always. Trinada pi sunichena now should be on our neck. But it seems to me we take that verse off a lot during the day. Now, we might keep it on for a few minutes during Mangalati. But then the rest of the day we put it back in our cupboard. So we have to learn to become humble. There's Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And then you will understand the Bhagavatam. So basically the Bhagavatam is saying, again and again and again, one of the most important points is do not offend devotees. Just be very careful when you're dealing with the devotees. Radhanath Swami says, if you offend a devotee, it is like taking a thorn and sticking it into Krishna's foot. Would you stick a thorn into Krishna's foot?
Mm-hmm.
You would never do that. Do you offend his devotees? Sometimes we do, right? So that's what it feels like to Krishna. You're pricking him. So be very careful. If you care about Krishna, then care about his devotees. Prabhupada said, if you love me, love my dog. Devotees came to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, we can serve you, but we can't cooperate with them. Our God brothers, our God sisters. We'll serve you, we'll serve the guru, but the other devotees, Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. They're my servants. Prabhupada actually said, this is the dog collar. This is the dog collar. You know, the dog wears the collar. What does the dog collar mean? I have a master. The dog is proud. You see, in India, they don't have dog collars. Right? No master. But when the dog has a collar, he becomes very proud. You see, Bhima. Very proud. You know, walks around. Money Griever is my master. Very puffed up guy. He walks around like. But you'll see, actually, I've seen, like sometimes I try to wrestle with Bhima. We have fights with him. We fight and he gets angry and he fights like that. He doesn't do it so much now because he's older now. Like, in human years, he's like 60, 70 years old. He's getting old. So he's not. But when he was young, he used to fight. Like, it was good fun. So if I can't make Bhima fight, right, then I attack Money Griever. And me and Money Griever start fighting. And you see that as soon as Vedasara or Money Griever is attacked, Bhima just jumps like that. Because I have a master. Right? And that's how a devotee feels. Prabhupada says, this is our dog collar. I have a master. So Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. We are Prabhupada's dogs. We are our spiritual master's dogs. We are the servant. We will do anything. And actually, it is said the dog has, I think it's four good qualities. I can remember two of them. I can't remember. Does anyone remember the four good qualities of a dog? Immediately? Yeah, that's two of them. Loyal, that's three of them. Yeah, there's one more. I can't remember the last one. The dog has four good qualities which we should have. Right? First one is, he's very loyal to his master. So we should also be like that. We should be good dogs. Right? Secondly, as soon as he wakes up, he's alert. I haven't learned this one yet. I wake up and it's like, I'm not like that. When I wake up, it takes me, because I have a little bit of kapha constitution, I'm like a little bit slow to get going like that. But actually says when we wake up, it should be like the dog, just alert. Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada, sometimes there'd be massaging Prabhupada and then Prabhupada would drift off. And then he'd come back 20 minutes later and he'd start speaking from the same word as when he drifted off. He'd be speaking and he'd kind of drift off. And then as soon as he came back, he'd just go straight back in. So Prabhupada had that quality. So we should wake up. And also, if we only get like a dog, if he gets a little bit to eat, he's satisfied. I haven't learned that one. I don't think Bhima's like that either. Maybe it's the Indian dogs like that, I'm not sure. But the point is, we should be humble. That's the point. And Bhagavatam is teaching us, be humble and serve the devotees. And be very, very careful about committing Vaishnava Aparadha. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
So purely
means that there has to be application. And when we teach the Shastra courses, we teach them there are 12 aims of Shastric study. Have you seen those 12 aims? Yeah, there's 12 aims like that. So part of the aim is that little girls will always sit down in the class. That is one of the aims. Very good. So one of the aims is that is personal application, which means you have to apply what you're reading. Don't just read it and not do it. You should read whatever's in the Bhagavatam, but you should apply each sloka. As you're going through the 18,000 verses towards the 10th canto, you should be imbibing and applying it. So if you're doing that, then you are actually getting the like the prima phal, or the fruit of studying the Bhagavatam. Because if you read the Bhagavatam, actually the verses are extremely deep. You know, just like we're at the moment in our Bhakti Vedanta course, we're studying Prahlad Maharaj. So we're seeing he, through his character, his behavior, his example, and also his instructions, what is pure devotional service or love of God. So we should be like analyzing and trying to imbibe those qualities. You know. And basically the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the entire Bhagavatam is contained in one verse, in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 40th verse. Right? So if you read that verse, it says that when a devotee chants, immediately tears come to his eyes. In other words, that's how much bhava or feeling or love he has for Krishna. So this is what the Bhagavatam is. So we should be imbibing what the Bhagavatam is teaching. Then we will get the result. But if you just read it and say, oh, that's nice, but you know, but you should be trying to attain it. That's the point. When Krishna sees you are trying to attain what the Bhagavatam is teaching, he will help you. He will help. It will take time, but he will help you. Does that answer you all? Anything else you want?
So basically, you're saying that purely one aspect is to practical application of the
reasons. Yeah, you have to apply it. It's not. Prabhupada would say it's not an armchair philosophy. It's not something we just read and we discuss, but you have to be doing it. The Bhagavatam says be humble. Right? Karunika titikshaswa. Right? It says a saint is compassionate, right, and he is tolerant. So then develop compassion and develop tolerance. We should see that developing. Is that okay? Any other question? Comment?
You mentioned about time where Krishna is going to the wrestling arena. In the, before that, there's a sustain in that in the pastime where Krishna kills the washman.
Yeah.
Could you please explain why is there any more explanation? One explanation of it, the washman offended and he didn't give the clothes to Krishna and offended by the clothes. So is there any
Yeah, well, what is the essence of existence? What is the purpose of our existence? It's to obey God and to please God. God himself is standing in front of you. Right? So Romahashan Sutta, we see in the 10th canto, Balaram walks in and he thinks, you know, Balaram himself walks in and he's sitting giving the class. He's been asked by all the sages to give the class. Right? So it's a very exalted position. And then Balaram walks in, and then he thinks in his mind, you know, okay, that's God, but I don't have to get up because I'm giving the class. So Balaram picks up a piece of grass, kusha grass, walks over to him and just goes, and his head goes, falls off. And all the sages said, you've done the right thing because you're God and he didn't get up, but now there's a problem. There's no one to speak the Bhagavatam. So now we need someone to please do something about this and atone for the sin to set an example. So the washerman, he, you know, was asked by Krishna and Balaram himself, same as the Jagi Brahmanas. Krishna said, and Balaram, they said to the boys, you go and ask, right, and they will give. Because you just say it's for Krishna and Balaram, but they weren't interested. That's an offense. And the wives had the right attitude. So the washerman did the wrong thing. So then what happened? I'm sure there's more to it if you study Gopal Champu and the other, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. I'm sure there's more to it. But that's the basic premise, is that. And then what happened next? Then he sees Kubja, right? And he says, oh, beautiful girl, right? She's got a hunchback, you know, like that. But she had a very beautiful face, actually, but she had a hunchback. He said, oh, beautiful girl. He said, what have you got there? She said, I have beautiful oils. like that. He said, what are they for? Is it for King Kamsa? He said, I think it's better you give them to my brother and me. So she said, yes, of course. So she came up and she gave them to him. And then Krishna touched her under the chin and then he lifted her up and she became perfect. She was very beautiful. Right? And then she said, I want you to come to my house to be with me. You know, basically, I want you to marry me. I want you. Krishna said, and the Krishna came embarrassed, you know, because his brother's there and everyone's there. So he said, okay, later, later, later. Like that. So she had the right attitude and the washerman had the wrong attitude. So that's the basic point. Anything else?
You want to tell those booking points, Maharishi?
Not now.
Everyone have it. Number 12.
Number 12. This is called hijacking the class. Someone had their hand up, or you put your hand? Someone had their hand up. Okay. I'll read it, but just let me ask the question.
So we said, you know, Krishna has killed the washerman.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people, if somebody knows that you can tell them, you know, then they, you know, question what time the God is missing, you did not please him, so he killed you. So it's like it was, you know, he really wants us to serve and please the heart to be.
You should kill them as well. I think Kali Yuga will be a lot less problematic. Then you have to learn to defeat people. You have to learn the philosophy so you can defeat people. Some people, they're just arrogant. So if they're arrogant, it says to preach to a faithless person is an offense to the holy name. So if someone is faithless, it doesn't matter what you say, they're just arguing, then just walk away. Just say, have some prasadam, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming to our temple. Have some prasadam. And just walk away. But if you can defeat them, then defeat them. Explain to them, like we just explained there. You know, it's very simple. God is God. You know, it's his prerogative to kill anyone he wants. Right? But then what happened to the washerman's soul? Right? As soon as he touched his neck, the soul went and then flew into Krishna. Right? So was the person benefited or not benefited? He was given liberation by God himself. He was killed by God himself. The Bhagavad Gita explains this in the beginning of the seventh canto, right? Because the question is asked, why did Krishna kill all the demons? Why does he always side with the demigods and kill the demons? But then it's explained in the beginning of the seventh canto, whatever he does, it's good. If the demons are killed by God himself, they attain liberation. It says that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Prabhupada explains, on the battlefield, when Krishna and Arjuna were driving the chariot, right, Arjuna killed 2/3 of the army by himself. Right, which means that apparently there were 640 million warriors. So Arjuna's killed millions of warriors by himself. So the last thing, because Krishna was going towards all of the warriors, the last thing they saw was Krishna, because Arjuna shot them with an arrow. Right, so Arjuna and killed them. At that moment, the last thing they saw was Krishna. And it's explained, Prabhupada says that those who had no envy towards him, the final thing they thought, he is so beautiful, which is bhakti, they went to Vaikuntha. So where's the bad? Our God kills people, but then takes them to Vaikuntha. So how can you criticize our God? Only a fool would criticize our God. Those who were envious of him, they didn't go to Vaikuntha. Right? They merged into his Brahmajyoti, like that. So there's no, and even then that's beneficial because Krishna has destroyed all of their karma, like that. So what bad our God has done? Your lack of knowledge, your avidya, your ignorance, then out of that you criticize him. But he hasn't done anything wrong. You've done something wrong. Like that. So if you can't defeat them, if you can defeat them, defeat them. And if you can't, then give them prasadam. That's it. Any other question? Comment? Okay. Is everyone ready for number 12? It better be good, Mahatma. Number 12. Except the Bhagavatam, there is no peace in this world. Never is too late. Don't waste a single second. You must your time must be squeezed for the Bhagavatam. Very good point. We must squeeze our time. In other words, any spare opportunity, we should be studying the Bhagavatam. Hridayananda Maharaj is one of Prabhupada's original followers, a very powerful devotee. He said, because he's known to be very learned, right? He said that when he was a new bhakta, they would get into the car to drive out to do book distribution. He said as soon as he got in the car, he just opened up the Bhagavatam. And half an hour while they're driving, you just read the Bhagavatam. And then after they finish book distribution, you get back in the van, just open up the Bhagavatam and just read for another half an hour. There's 1 hour every day, which was time which could have been wasted. He read the Bhagavatam. And that way he read Prabhupada's books. And he became very learned in Krishna consciousness. So we should make all the opportunity we can. Don't waste time. Okay. Anything else?
What's related to the first aspect of this washerman? First of all, washerman is the number of ignorance with your sutra. You wouldn't have proper knowledge to realize who is constantly asking for that. And secondly, Lord himself doesn't want you to identify with the three plus knowledge. That's why you covered all the people in gentle spirits. And he covered himself so that he covered his life. So, first of all, the ignorant man of the world, what is the chance to understand to the purpose of God and the one asking for?
Maybe, but not necessarily, because Kubja, she wasn't high class and she understood like that. And then there was the Sudama, who was the person who made the garlands, he understood. So it wasn't because he was a Shudra. Because there are other people there who were considered to be in that class, that they gave everything to Krishna. It's just because if the soul is envious of God, then the soul is envious of God. High class, low class. Bhakti is not based on material qualification. It's based on whether or not you will surrender to God. And if you surrender to God, you become higher than a Brahmana. A Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmana. So, any other point? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.